Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Everybody likes the music.
All right. What's up, everybody? It's your boy EB here from the Sports Junkies in Washington, D.C. And as always, I'm here with my guys from Long Island, Joe P. and Vinny. Vinny and Joe from Long Island. Hey, boys. Good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
Giddy up. What's up, EB?
Hey, buddy. Joe, Vin, how are you, my friend?
What's up, fellas?
Can you guys breathe? What's going on there in New York? The pictures seeing... were unbelievable. Was it that bad in Long Island, too?
I don't know if it was that bad, but I looked out my window and I couldn't see the water. You know where I live, and I couldn't.
You couldn't even see the water right over?
I couldn't see it. The water was not visible.
Right. Did you know, did this all of a sudden happen for you guys, too, like it sort of did for us, like within the last 48 hours or so? Or did you feel it slowly coming in?
It actually... Within, like, I looked out 1 hour, it was fine. The next hour, it was like, looked like it was like Mars.
Right. And then, did it noticeably affect your breathing?
The first day.
The first day.
The first day, it smelled like wood.
Right.
Like, it did.
We actually smelled it. We actually smelled it first before we saw it.
You did. See,
even today, I went outside and we took a walk and. It was like you could. It looked fine, but when you breathe in, like you got dust in your throat.
Right, it's brutal.
Pretty nasty.
Yeah. Brutal. Well, yeah. Do you know what the? I never paid attention to the air quality index or anything. That's nothing I've ever paid attention to in my life. But I guess around here, it may have peaked around 260, 270 or something for a moment. I guess they say normal is like 40 or something. Do you have any idea what your number peaked at?
I don't know where it peaked at. I know it was at like 160 or 170 today. But you know what the crazy thing is?
Yeah.
I was watching is that there's like four or five cities around the world that are like this every day.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Like in China, right?
China and Bangladesh. It's like this is what – it's every day. They're like we can't go outside. Everything's canceled. This is their normal day.
I know. I was supposed to play golf today, but there was a comedy of errors why I couldn't play. But I was a little anxious about it. But then we had a weather guy on, and he basically said, you know, if you're outside for the day, it's like the equivalent of one or two cigarettes. And I go, all right. I mean, you know, that's not going to kill you. You know, one or two cigarettes. Now, if you have to deal with it every day, that's not good. But
right. It's like a half a cigar.
Yeah. But they're acting like it's the end of the world. They scare the crap out of you, you know? And
I know.
And Stevie said, Keenan, you know, who's from Oregon, they deal with this all the time from the California.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from the California wildfires that they have to deal with, you know, breathing a little shit. I mean, listen, it's not great. There's no doubt about it. There's no question it's not great. I think the epicenter today may have been the Philly area, supposedly, right. As it's coming a little south.
It's the news. Any time they can scare the shit out of you, so you watch them more, they're going to do it.
Yeah. Everything is to scare the shit out of you.
Yeah.
It's just why we can't take them seriously. They're going to literally say there's a nuke on the way, and we're going to like, yeah, right, sure. No one's going to pay attention.
I know.
No one's going to go in their basement. No one's going to go in their bomb shelter. Yeah. Right. It's brutal. So you guys aren't too worried about it. Did it change your activities at all, or you just did your normal deal. I mean, Vin, you're not doing anything. You just stayed in the house and vacuumed or something, right?
No, actually, it did interrupt my walking schedule. I didn't walk this morning. Jackie wouldn't let me.
She didn't?
Nope. I usually walk 5 miles every morning with two of my buddies. And, you know, today
Dr.
I skipped.
Dr. Jones?
With Dr. Jones, yeah.
Really? You have a treadmill. Did you hit the treadmill instead?
Oh, no. Let's not get crazy. You know, just a nice leisurely.
Way too much work.
Yeah, really, treadmill.
Well, missed you guys this past week or so. Obviously, a huge news in the sports world. I'm just a bit curious to get your guys' take on the LIV Golf PGA, you know, so-called merger. We'll see how this all shakes out. But I thought it was fascinating. You guys know my deal. I just love golf. I enjoyed LIV. Of course, I love the PGA Tour. Who doesn't love the PGA Tour? But I enjoyed LIV, too. I thought it was awesome when I went out to the event here in Ashburn. I know some of the people that run it now, and they're awesome. So I hate to see it go away. I don't know how it's going to shake out. But, my God, I got a kick out of seeing everybody so depressed. Everybody who had all the moral outrage before. Now, suddenly, what are they going to do? Quit? You guys all going to quit now? What are you going to do? You know what I mean?
It's just like, again, with the same thing. It's all propaganda.
Yeah.
You know, to make you not like LIV. And all of a sudden now, if it makes sense money-wise, they're going to do it.
Right. Let's be honest. They didn't like LIV because it was a competitor. And they were taking their stars. And they could say what they want about the blood money. And if you have an issue with that, I guess I can understand that. But if you really look around the world, the blood money's everywhere. I mean, I wish we could go away without, you know, having ties to some sort of tainted money. But as I've told you guys many times before, you guys have heard it. We all buy stuff from Amazon. We all buy stuff from China. I mean, they come from horrific conditions. I tried not to wear Nike for a while, but like, all Marist lacrosse stuff's Nike. What am I not going to rep my son's gear? You know, same thing at Cornell. What am I not? I was buying Pumas, right? And I just gave up. I said, how many Pumas can I own? And even some
it's hard to boycott.
It's hard. It's really hard. You know, and if you can
I still have not bought a Nike item. I still wear them if I have it, if it's around, but I haven't bought one in about 3 or 4 years.
So you are trying to have some sort of your own personal protest. I get that.
Yeah,
I haven't
bought a Nike item, like actually purchased one, I think in 4 years.
I respect that. Now, even like a Marist lacrosse thing with JoJo's number on it?
No, if it's Nike, I didn't buy it.
Yeah, good for you. I tried to do that. I lasted about maybe a year and a half, and that's it. I just can't, you know. But it's going to be amazing to see how it all shakes out. You guys know I did a whole rant a couple of weeks ago how much I love Norman. It sounds like they're trying to push Norman out of this, which, I mean, nobody needs to cry for Norman. The guy's set for life beyond, you know, 10 lifetimes. But I'd like to see the format survive. I think the team concept will be cool. I think ultimately it will. But, man, I got a kick out of just watching the Golf Channel and watching Brandel Chambly and all these guys just melt, just absolutely fall apart. And unfortunately, I mean, unfortunately, just the way it is. You know, there was, you know, sports gambling. Think about how bad sports gambling was thought of a few years ago. And now it's everywhere. All the leagues are promoting it because at the end of the day, it's kind of a sad reality, but it is what it is. People are living
in
this
Rose
fantasy.
Still isn't in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, that's a separate issue. That's a separate issue.
It's silly.
You know,
for how many years did we hear there'll never be a pro sports team in Las Vegas? Never, ever, ever will we put a pro team in Vegas.
Now
we have every sport in Vegas.
Yeah, and then you know the FanDuels, the DraftKings, and all that, and it's keeping my business afloat. I mean, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
What am I not going to do the reads? I like to gamble on sports. As long as you can do it, you know, responsibly, obviously. But you know, people that
look how many NFL kids are getting suspended left and right now.
I know
they suspended half their team.
Yeah, somebody just got suspended or is facing suspension, and he was making $50 bets. And, you know, I think he maybe made like
silly
$50 bets. Guy was making like $5 million a year. Put it all in jeopardy, you know. But
the idiot bet on football.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with Pete. That's the thing with Pete, right? He was betting baseball. Yeah. Now, allegedly, he wasn't betting the Reds. You know,
right.
What I thought was interesting about Pete, I don't know if you saw this, Vin or Joe, but I guess one of his bat, I think the bat, it may even be the bat that broke Cobb's record or whatever, like 41-92, whatever it was, mm-hmm. that it was up for auction and it was going for like $75,000. And he had signed it, but they also had noted that it appeared to be corked, that you could see on the bottom of the handle. You could see a little circle where that's where they were corking them. And they put some sort of stamp there, and they tried to put some marker to hide over it. But it appeared, you know, he was 44 at the time.
Yeah, well, I saw a whole special on, like, you know, the science behind the corking.
Yeah, yeah, tell me about it.
They basically said it doesn't do anything.
It doesn't do anything? It's just all, yeah.
Yeah, it basically doesn't do anything.
Yeah, because I wonder how that works. Was it the idea that they were – because some guys were putting, like, super balls in it, right?
Yeah, who's broke?
Albert Bell?
Albert Bell? Somebody's just broke.
Yeah, just broke it as a million pieces. Hilarious. Yeah. You know, I remember it was the Yankees pitcher, wasn't it? That got caught. Yeah. The climbing it broke into like the umpire's room and took the bat out. Was it, right? I remember that. It's so many funny incidents. Remember, I always get a kick out of the baseball scandals. The you know, the right. pitchers using stuff.
Yeah.
You know, even
the best was the George Brett when he went
with
bananas.
With the pine tar? Right. Yeah, but see, I don't even know. Does that even give you an unfair – that's just like a strange rule to me, right? That doesn't give you an unfair advantage.
No, that's the whole point.
Not
the hitting.
Right. But anyway, I just thought that was hysterical, and I'm sure that that's been known out in the sports, you know, collector's world or in the sports world for a long time. But I had no idea that Pete was not only betting on baseball, doing everything else, he was also corking his bats, allegedly. Whether it helped him or not. Believe me, he was a great player. No doubt about
it. The guy's a train wreck. The guy's a train wreck. There's no doubt about it. But there's no way he's not a Hall of Famer.
Right. Well, that's for sure.
The best story is Billy Martin, back in the day, had to take all the phones out of the Yankee clubhouse because Mickey Rivers was a degenerate horse player. And he would go in between innings on day games and bet the horses, and he had all the phones removed from the clubhouse.
Yeah, so what else is going on? Oh, so I don't know if you guys know this. So maybe I talked about it last week, but Steven just sprung on us like a couple of weeks ago that he's going to Europe. So he's flying out tomorrow. I don't know if your boys ever did this. Did we talk about this last week? He's flying to Brussels, then Madrid, then Barcelona, Amsterdam, and – you know, I know we've talked about that, like our wives want to go to Europe and all that. Yeah. I have no desire. But all I keep telling them is, I don't care how hot the girl is. She's probably a prostitute. She's probably going to spike your drink. She's probably going to try to take your wallet.
Probably a guy.
Right? So we've been giving them all these rules. Like we bought them all these shorts with like zippers inside, you know, to put your wallet and your I know I'm going to get a call that he lost his passport. I know I'm going to get that call. So
you're going to be a nervous wreck for weeks.
I know. I can't think about it. I just can't think about it. It's too much.
The anxiety.
Yeah, it's too much.
That's pretty action.
Good. Then give him your doctor. What's your doctor's name? Give him his number.
No, actually, Tyler just landed in Hawaii 2 minutes ago.
Right. Because his girlfriend lives there, right? What part of Hawaii?
Yeah. I think she's on the Big Island. I'm not sure.
Uh-huh. Have you been to Hawaii before, any of the islands?
Sure. I have.
I actually played baseball there my senior year in college for 10 days.
Oh, that's a nice trip, dude.
Yeah, we played the baseball tournament. It was awesome. Dude, it was great.
Dude, I've only been to Maui. We did our honeymoon in Maui for 10 days. That was unbelievable. I'm desperate to go back. I haven't been back in almost 30 years. That's something I have to do. What did you go for, Joe?
I went for a sales.
Like a work thing? Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a, you know, sales winner circle, president's club type thing. It was all free. You know, it was great.
Did you love it? But I mean,
it was beautiful. I don't think there was a ton to do there, like especially on Maui.
Well, that's for sure. There's not a lot to do.
But it was beautiful, but it was a long freaking flight from here, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was worth the 13 hours, to be honest with you. I'd rather just jump, you know, go to the Bahamas. You know, they got palm trees too there.
Well, what we did to break it up is we had friends in California, so we, like, stayed in Santa Monica for a day or two. Then you break it up. So then it's like six.
Yeah, if I did it again, I said the same thing. I would go to Napa for a few days and then go.
Exactly.
Like the whole 13-hour thing, I want to kill myself.
Yeah, no. I couldn't do that. In fact, I don't even know how Steven's going to handle some of these flights, but whatever. You know, he's I don't know what he's going to do.
Who's he going with?
He's going with a couple of high school buddies.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Listen, might as well do it now.
Yeah, might as well do it now, exactly. But, you know, his high school coach gave him a speech. I gave him a speech. His mother's giving him a speech. Everyone's giving him a speech. I don't know. He knows everything now. If he
they'll be fine.
If he gets arrested or dies, it's on him.
Oh, he's definitely getting arrested. He'll be fine though.
Let's hope not.
Is it a prerequisite to get arrested?
I know a guy that went over there, an athlete who went to like Sweden or something and like knocked some dude out, and they had to call his dad and say he was like in prison in Sweden for like knocking a guy out at a bar or something. So yeah, don't do that. Wow. Please don't do that. What else is out there? Oh, Jackie's birthday. Huh, Vin? What do we got planned? This is your romance opportunity.
Yes, it is. Oh, I have the whole day planned tomorrow. It's awesome. We're going to get up nice and early because I have to get to the stationery store to get the daily racing form for the Belmont Stakes on Saturday. You get it a day early. So we're going to start with that.
Right.
Then we're going to go out to breakfast, which is nice. I got her a great gift. She wanted golf lessons. So I got her three golf lessons.
Well, she's not going to – the birthday's actually when? Tomorrow?
The birthday's actually tomorrow, yeah.
It's actually tomorrow. Okay, so she won't hear this until you've already given it to her.
Correct.
Right, right.
How romantic is that? Golf lessons. We can play golf together.
All right, I like it. All right.
No? Is that working?
No? It's good. You're doing breakfast. You got golf lessons. The Belmont. So you're picking up the form or whatever. What else?
What do you got,
then? And then dinner with Ryan, because Ty left. We had cake last night.
You had cake last night.
We wanted to have cake before Tyler left, so we did the cake thing last night. And then Tyler flew to Hawaii, and we'll go to dinner tomorrow night with Ryan, and it's all good.
Any blowback on the romance or lack thereof from last week? Any feedback from Kim or from Jackie? Are we in the clear?
Oh, we're in the clear. I just didn't let it listen to that part.
We actually went over to Joe P's house that Friday.
You did?
Yeah.
We went to Joe P's house on that Friday, and the first thing I said to Jackie was at Joe P's house, boy, isn't this romantic? Right, that was my romantic that was at Joe P's house.
Oh my God. I think Vin's on like a little bit of a delay. Vin, I'm gonna hang up with you and call you back, okay? Or you just hang up and call me back. Because I think you're on just a little bit of a delay.
All right, I'm back. Is it better?
It's just like a little bit of a delay. You see how there's like 3 seconds before you respond?
I'm telling you, he's stealing his neighbor's internet. That's the problem.
Do you pay for your own internet, Finn?
Somebody does. It's not me. I'm sure somebody does.
Yeah. All right. We'll try. We'll see how it goes. All right. So no blowback. You didn't let Kim listen to the episode. Jackie, no, she was fine. She knows you. I mean, there was nothing surprising there. Right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
You get what you get with me. It's pretty simple.
Right.
Yeah, you get Crocs and gray sweats. That's pretty much it. And a Met hat.
Correct.
Has there been any by the way, I just need a little bit of a New York update. What's going on there? Are you guys taking special glee in DeGrom being out?
No, I don't. I mean, no. I was a DeGrom fan, so I don't really take it. I'm taking special angst about the Mets losing every fucking night, though. I can tell you that much.
I'm not even paying attention. Is Scherzer back every fifth? Is he pitching or is he hurt?
No, he's pitching. So he's pitching, Verlander.
He's pitching like he's hurt.
He is? Is he struggling?
Last night he had 10 strikeouts and gave up 11 hits.
Yeah. He tends to give up homers. Is he giving up homers?
Sure, homers, triples, doubles, singles. He's an equal opportunity.
He doesn't discriminate.
No, it's unbelievable.
What about, I need an OTA update. See, here in D.C., everyone's locked in on Hal and Chase Young and rumors of them still trying to shop Chase. I don't think it's going to happen. It's been kind of a roller coaster with Hal. First of all, Vin, give us a Giants OTAs update. What's going on with the Giants? What's the hot story there?
The hot story is the receiver room. They seem to love all the receivers that they brought in.
They do.
Yes, they do. So that's the story for us. But everything else, it's been pretty quiet in Giant Camp. Everyone showed up. They say Daniel Jones looks good. The receivers look good, except Saquon, but he'll eventually be there.
Why? What's his deal? Is he nicked up again?
They gave him the franchise tag, and he was pissed.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
So if they don't come to some sort of agreement, has he said, yeah, I'll play on it, but I'm not going to do anything extra until then type thing? Or what's the story?
He hasn't said it, but I assume he's going to play.
Right.
For everything that you read about him, they talk about him, he's a great team guy.
Right,
so.
Right. No, I remember when he came out, and I just remember seeing all the interviews and just thinking, wow, this guy's a stud. I mean, just like, seems like a great dude. What about Dolphins? We need a Dolphins update, Joe P.
Well, the big news today is that Dalvin Cook is getting released. So the rumors are that they're going to pick him up, which if they do, that could he could be the missing link.
Right.
I'm telling you, you throw Dalvin Cook out there with those receivers, you know, maybe Tua doesn't get knocked around as much.
Has Tua been participating full go and all that?
Oh, yeah.
No problems.
Full participant. They say he's fully healthy. He looks thicker. Like he definitely put on like 15 pounds.
You
know,
right.
He looks more like a sumo wrestler than he does a quarterback.
Right. Does he wear that neck thing that the football guys and lacrosse guys wear?
You know what? It's funny that you asked that. I was wondering if he was going to, but I don't think he does.
Yeah, because I know my buddy helps distribute those things, and like we got even like high school kids around here, high school like lacrosse teams where they wear them. You'll see a ton of the pro lacrosse guys wear them, and some of the football guys wear them, right?
I would imagine. I mean, if they prevent concussions, I can't see why he wouldn't wear it.
I thought the idea was that it kind of like stabilizes your muscles here, which somehow stabilizes your brain or something. I'm not quite sure, but
I don't know, he should do something.
He should try it. Joe, you need to talk to your people. You need to get Tua one. Take care. Are you guys watching?
Sure, they thought of it already.
Are you guys watching the NBA Finals?
I watched some of it. Yeah.
And who are you root for?
I don't really care, to be quite honest with you. I'm a Jokic fan though. I like watching him play.
Right.
He's an old school, you know, throwback. You know, you don't have too many of those guys out there. The guy does everything and he's tough. So I kind of root for him.
Right.
But between the two teams, I don't really care.
Yeah.
The Heat knocked the Knicks out, so that kind of pissed me off. So
it's hard for you to root for them?
Yeah.
I like the underdog, though. I'm always a big underdog guy, and I don't know. I get a kick out of Jimmy Butler. He's just feisty.
Are they really underdogs, though?
I mean,
I just think they didn't play that good during the season. Are they really underdogs?
Yeah. I mean, maybe.
I mean, they got good players, man.
They definitely have good players.
You know?
But they're saying Jokic, if he could cap this off, I mean, some people, I can't remember, we talked about it on the show, I think Bill Simmons says he's already a top 25 player of all time. If he starts clocking championships now, I mean, and he's only like 28 years old, you know?
Honestly, I think that Jokic is a great player, and like I just said, I love watching him play, but I don't think he would be this successful playing against the other big men that were, you know, around 20, 30 years ago.
Really?
The game's changed so much. He does hit the three. He can, like, go, you know.
It's an occasional three out, for sure, one or two a game.
But he does dominate with his physicality. Mm-hmm. That's what separates him. He dominates with the physicality.
And you don't think he would with a traditional big man?
I don't think, like, listen, the big men today aren't, you know, they're not the same, you know, style of big men they were, you know, 20, 30 years ago. They're not banging in there and making it hard for you.
Right.
You know, he bullies guys.
Right.
You know, you don't have your traditional power forward centers that were really, you know, banging the boards and, you know, making it miserable for you to get to the hoop, you know.
Right. No,
posting you up.
I miss that. I miss the old school games. I mean, I miss those, like, friggin' 85, 83, like, Knicks games
so
or whatever.
So much fun, right.
Yeah.
If you think about it, how much – like, he doesn't have to work as hard on defense. He doesn't have somebody going in the low post and backing him in and banging him all day, trying to stop an Elijah Wan or somebody like that. He doesn't have to work that hard on defense.
Right.
So he can go and do all these things on offense, take him to the three, you know, take that many shots and be a, you know, a primary scorer because he's not working that hard because nobody's primary scorer is a low post threat.
Right. You know, speaking of just while we're on the sports topic before we move on, speaking of the Belmont, how many horses are left, Vin? Right? Typically, there aren't that many, right, that make it down to the end. Sometimes they're only, you know, six or seven maybe, right? But it's been, I feel like it's been a weird year.
Back in the old days, horses used to run in the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. Like, right. That was a given. If you ran in one, you ran in them all.
Right.
And then I would say maybe like 8 to 10 years ago, people started to skip races. I'm going to skip the Derby and run in the Preakness. Or I'm going to skip the Preakness and wait for the Belmont. Or I'm just going to wait for the Belmont. So there's only a handful of horses that are going to run in all three races.
Right.
You especially know, if they lose the Derby.
If they lose the Derby, they skip the Preakness for sure. Yeah, right? Why, right? They don't want the wear and tear on the horse, right? So that makes it easier to handicap then, right? If there's only friggin' five or six horses in the final race?
If it was easy, they wouldn't call it gambling. They would call it giving money away.
Oh. Right, hold on. Let me ask you that question again. If there's only, I don't know, let's say there's only five or six horses, doesn't it make it easier to handicap, Vin?
The fewer horses, it obviously does, but you're not going to make as much money. That's the problem. The more horses, you know, the more chances you have to make more money. Right. I think there are 12 in the Belmont.
There are 12. Oh, there's way more than I thought. Yeah. Because they're picking and choosing. Yeah. Is that Baffert, dude? Is he still, did they suspend him or is he okay? He's still around for this.
I think he's back, right? Isn't he back?
I think he won a couple weeks ago, but like, didn't he have a bunch of horses die, like in the prelims or something? Or
yeah, well, I guess they're still. They actually shut down Churchill Downs after the Derby, about 2 weeks after, to do an investigation. But they always say the same thing: we're going to tighten up the security of and the horses' best interests are at. But they'll race again there.
Is it simply because they're so drugged up and they're so big and strong? They're just breaking down? Is that what it is?
When we were kids, how many people tore their ACL that you knew of?
I don't know. No idea.
I never heard of that injury, ever.
Right.
An ACL injury when I was younger. Now people do it all the time, and it's the same with horses. They have, you know, their tendons, they're running at speeds, right? And the horses just sometimes they break down from injury.
Right.
It's just like an athlete.
But it seems like it's an epidemic, like it's happening like all the time now.
It happens in spurts. It happened at Santa Anita about 2 years ago out in California. They did the same thing. They shut down racing. And now that's been – I haven't heard of a horse that died at Santa Anita. And now it's in Churchill Downs in Kentucky. Right. It could be the track. Is it the dirt? Is it the turf? Is it, you know, something going on there?
Right.
That's what they have to figure out.
All right, let's bang out some – we got some good questions from people. They want to get some updates here. First of all – so we kind of go through this every week, but I guess we have new listeners. And I think it's kind of a mystery. They want to know what you guys do for a living. Now, we all know Vin. Vin's a retired teacher now, right? Been retired for like 1 year, still coaching high school football. They can't fire him yet. So that's pretty settled. Joe P., nobody knows what you do. You're either like some sort of mobster, hitman. Nobody really knows what Joe P. does.
We're going to have to show that one.
Let me make sure my earphones are on because I want to hear this too.
All right. I'm going to give you my answer that I give everybody. I'm a professional middleman.
Okay. I know you have a variety of gigs. You're like an entrepreneur, actually, in all seriousness.
Yeah.
I know you have a lot of gigs, but I know somehow you're in the telecommunications world, right?
Yep.
Without getting too
our
specific,
core business is telecommunications consulting,
right?
It's a telecom products company.
And so, like, you help, like, maybe we'll get you business. So you help, like, say hospitals set up their communication systems, their phone systems, their internet, all that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
That's essentially what you do.
Back servers, yeah, exactly. We consult
to
large organizations and bring them telephony and connectivity.
How the hell did you get into that?
Honestly, I started out banging on doors, selling long distance to whoever wanted it.
Really?
And then it just went from there. Yeah,
dude, we have people occasionally, they knock on our door, you know, trying to sell. I feel so bad for them.
It's brutal.
It's humiliating.
Literally, I wore holes in my shoes. Like, literally, I would go through a set of shoes like every month.
I mean, would it crush your soul every time you got turned down? Or you just learn to accept it and don't even care?
EB?
Yeah?
Every no is one step closer to a yes.
Oh, my God. So that's how you have to really live by that? You can't take it personally?
Otherwise, you kill yourself.
So the guy, I noticed that the guy that knocked on my door this week, and you know, it's typically for stuff like, you know, they see, I don't know, they claim that they've seen something on your roof or something, or you know, they're doing somebody down the street, you know, it's always something like that. But the guy that did it this week, he stood like 20 feet away from the door. He rang the doorbell. And then he walked, so I guess I didn't think he was threatening or something.
At your house? Or
yeah.
Is this at the studio?
No, in my house. And I just felt so bad for him, but he was so far away I couldn't even hear him. And I just figured, what's the success rate on that? It's just got to be – I almost want to – huh?
You'd be surprised how many people like just want to talk to somebody.
Really?
You know, like I did it – I didn't do it like – door-to-door at homes. We, you know, it was like office parks.
You go to business.
Like that. This is 30 years ago, you know.
Right.
But that's how I started. But then it, you know, morphed into, you know, just doing like larger accounts and whatnot.
And they give you lead.
Bottom line is,
yeah.
Yeah, I have a soft spot for door-to-door guys.
Yeah, I can see it. I feel bad for them. Did you ever do like cold calling on phones?
Yeah. Yeah, that was – it was – yeah, cold calling on phones. You go to Office Park, collect cards, call them back. You know, that you generated everything from – you know, from 0 to 100 was all, you know, all cold.
Do no you – did you bring like donuts and that kind of stuff, like kiss their
anything
ass?
Anything that I could.
Really? Did you give them like tickets to games and stuff like that, like if you had an account?
Yeah, as we went on, as you started getting – you know, clients to keep them, you would do all that stuff.
All right.
That was, you know, after I only knocked on doors for a couple of years. And then after that, you move up the ladder and you work on the bigger accounts and you work, you know, it turns into a real job.
Oh my God. It's unbelievable. But then I know you're also, you're a house flipper. You've been doing that for a while, right? And I'm not talking about one house. Like you're currently working on 4 houses, right?
I have 4 pieces of property, but we're doing one at a time, correct?
You're doing one at a time. And you're buying them strictly to flip, right? Or are you going to like rent them out like Airbnb style?
It depends. It really depends. Mostly to sell. But if it doesn't sell at the right price, then we can Airbnb them.
That's a great backup.
This is really Kim. That part of it's really Kim's gig. She really that's her business. That's like her side.
Right. But she also has she's like a social worker too. She got
You
guys got 100 like jobs. That. And then one other thing, you were telling me the other day, now you're also involved in like supplying power for people like that have like electric cars or something.
So we're selling like the EV chargers and doing installations, working with dealerships to do the installations. So when you buy the car, most people have no idea what to, you know. They have to plug it into something now, and they, you know, you could use a regular outlet, but it takes like 40 years to charge a car to do
that. Right,
so you have to actually put a charging station in your house. So we're working with dealerships to, you know, put those charging stations in people's houses.
How'd you get into that?
It was actually my idea to do it. I work with a company. We did some LED lighting over, you know, for larger companies in the past, and the electrical contractor we work with was saying that he started doing charging installations. And I said, well, you know, why don't we do them through the dealerships? And we started working with a few of the dealerships, and it's actually a good product for them. So we've been starting to do that.
Jesus.
Whatever it takes, EB, I don't care.
You want to know how you get your own little estate at the Foxy Gator? You got to have 100 jobs.
Exactly.
You got to have 100 free jobs.
But more important, he's working on a really, really big deal, a big deal now that he's got to come through with.
Right. That's the one you helped set him up.
Yeah, that's the one I'm involved in.
So
you keep checking the mailbox every day, don't you, Vin?
Yeah. He's waiting for the mailbox money. Well, it's going. It's getting there.
Right. All right. So that's kind of what the guys do. Let me see. Next question. Okay. This is an easy one, I think. And we all have sort of different takes on this. Recruiting tips. What do you give for the parents out there? What are your recruiting tips? Because, Joe, you've had 3 kids all play. You know, your 2 daughters played lacrosse at Florida. JoJo played at Marist. You've had Ryan played at Dickinson. Is that right? And then, of course, Ty at Marist. So what are your recruiting tips for parents, for kids? Seems like everybody's got to have, like, an Instagram page. They got to have highlight videos. Beyond that, though, You know, if you're a stud, you get noticed. I always tell people, if your kid's a stud, you don't even have to worry about it. But if your kid is like, my kids are good, not great, then it gets harder. Then it definitely gets harder.
Right. I'll go first. I've had both ends of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. The girls were top five recruits in the country, so it was even, you know, it was just like, where do you want to go?
Right. Where
JoJo was a slow grower,
right.
So he was kind of late, and the recruiting was really early when they went through.
Yeah.
So it took him a little bit more cultivating.
Right.
But I would say the biggest thing for anybody to know is just be realistic about your son or daughter's abilities.
Right.
Right. So look, evaluate, understand where they would fit. And, you know, if they're not offering you, you know, a decent amount of athletic money, you're probably not in their top three or four recruits. And if you're not in your top three or four recruits, you're probably going to have to wait to play.
Yeah, for sure. If ever. I know that was
right.
My experience with a couple schools that they were like, oh, yeah, we'll take them. You know, we do visits and everything. But I was like, okay, let's talk money. And they're like, yeah, you know, we'll see, whatever. And they didn't want to commit to money. And I always felt like if they weren't committing money, then they weren't committed. You know,
right.
The kids they give money to, they want to justify.
Right. And exactly. There's no doubt. The coaches want to be right. There's no doubt about it. They want to prove themselves right by that they picked the right person. The other thing you have to look at, too, is evaluate who's in the position that he plays or that he can play and who's graduating and when he realistically hears.
See, I didn't do that.
Get a shot at playing.
Right. That's true.
Everybody thinks their kid's going to play. Everybody, there's nobody goes to college thinking their kid's never going to play.
Right.
Right. So it's just really doing your self evaluation and a realistic evaluation, not because, you know, somebody gave you attention.
Right. The other thing I think, and Vin, I want you to chime in on this, is, and you guys could speak to this, certainly with lacrosse, because, now, Joe, you coached their club team. It was a very successful club team, right? You guys did very, very well. But I also think, like, you know, you guys, your boys played football. You didn't chase every tournament. You didn't chase the best club team year-round, all that stuff, right? You just... I know for me and my son, we just wanted to be on a good club team that played the right tournaments, and then it's up to your kid to perform. That's, you know, it doesn't really matter if your team wins the tournament. It doesn't even really matter. As long as your team, your son's team or daughter's team, is playing in the right tournaments where the coaches are milling around, that's all you could do. It's up to them to now perform. I don't know, Vin.
Yeah, I'd say Joe's 100% right, because – coaching in a small district that we are in Mount Sinai, I coach football. I've had 3 Division I football players in the 26 years since I've been there. So you have to be realistic, you know, where your kid fits in. And for me personally, my son Ryan was a Division III football player. So back in the day when Joe played, I played, your high school coach was really the only person that could advocate for you.
Yeah.
You weren't making film. There was no Twitter. There was no huddle. There was nothing.
Right.
Nowadays, if you're going to play Division I, your summer coach, and you, the player, you could contact schools to see if they're interested in you.
100%.
If you're a Division III type player, you're doing pretty much all the recruiting on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You could send the film right to the coach.
Right.
Schools that you think you might want to go to. And the summer coaches are really important. I know with Tyler... Ty was torn between UMass and Marist. So Ty went to go visit UMass, and we had a summer practice at Mount Sinai, and Joe came up to me and said, hey, how did Tyler like his visit? I said, wow, he really loved UMass. Joe walked away, got on the phone. He called Keegan at Marist, told him what was going on. 30 seconds later, my phone rang, and Keegan said, hey, we found $5,000 more for Ty a year. So...
Right.
You know, the summer coach now is as important as your high school coach.
Well, I think that's a big thing, too. Wherever they are, find advocates. Find an advocate that has 100%. Connections, because that's so huge.
Well, the other thing is, you know, obviously Sydney is a college coach now, so I have firsthand information of how it really works, right? So, you know, for everybody who, like, puts a lot of stock in the, you know, in the highlight tape, everybody's got a good highlight tape.
Yeah.
Okay. Make sure they're concise and direct,
quick,
and not too long,
yeah,
and drawn out, and put a little bit of everything in there,
yeah,
as much as you know. But it has to be short and concise. They're only watching it for 15 seconds to a minute, and then they're going to the next one.
Right.
Okay.
You got to draw them right away. Put your best shit right away.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. For sure. That's it. That's pretty much it. I know my pet peeve of mine is just a lot of parents are trying to chase the best program, they're hopping around program to program to program. And, you know, sometimes you might end up at a program where your kid's not even playing now. Now you got your kid on the best team, but he's not even playing. So find a place where you trust the coach. They're going to play your kid. You're going to play the right tournaments.
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, and then contact them. Tell them where you're going to be. It's definitely important.
If you really, really, really like – you have to identify schools you like, right?
Right.
Unless they're like if somebody likes you, they're going to tell you. But
right.
If you want to really say I like this school, this school, this school, identify the schools, send the tape, right, and keep sending emails, get their attention.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe they come watch you play somewhere, and that's really all you can do.
Meg did it every week.
It's competitive.
She hammered them every week. Okay, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be at Columbus right. this week, just so you know. On Saturday, I'm going to be here. Sunday, I'm going to be here. Court 27 or whatever.
Sooner or later, they'll come watch you.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah.
If you can beat them down. And I'll tell you this. Meg ultimately got her offer from Cornell. She didn't even play that great that day. But this is the other thing, is her on-court demeanor was on fire. Like, she was loud, positive. You know what I mean? They want that. They want that. You know, they want a good teammate. I remember Dom Starzha sent a letter to my buddy who played for him, and he said he watched him, how he showed up to the field, how he organized his bag, how he communicated with his teammates, how he communicated with his parents. They watch everything, you know? And we've all heard stories of kids not getting recruited because their parents are nutty on the sideline.
Right.
You know,
right.
They're like, you know, it's a great kid. I don't want to deal with those parents.
Listen, you want to ruin your recruiting for your kid?
Yeah.
Believe me, they're recruiting the parents just as much as
exactly.
The kid.
Exactly.
Unless he's he or she is, like you said, there's some no brainers. There's some just, you know, there's some Brennan O'Neills out there.
The big, strong, the biggest, strongest, right? Fastest, they go right away.
Yeah. His dad could be a total,
right. Doesn't matter.
Asshole. And it don't matter.
Right.
But if you're this kid or this kid, and this kid's got parents that they don't think is a pain in the ass.
Right.
They're going to go with
right.
the parent.
And that kid's got good attitude and looks everything. He's trying hard, breaking balls. They're going to go with that one.
Yep.
100%.
No doubt.
All right, Vin, you can lead off with this. Another question is, you guys always hype up your tailgates. Give us the tailgate menu. Vin, you go.
Ooh, the tailgate menu. Well, the good thing is, next week, our first guest could be the guy who supplies all the tailgate meat for us. We're
right.
working on Dan Jones and his nephew
right.
from the butcher that we get all the meat from. But our tailgates, Chubb meats, our tailgates were pretty much almost always the same. We always had a fresh kielbasa.
Mm-hmm.
That's the starter. That's the leadoff, man.
That's right. The leadoff. Like, not the stuff that comes wrapped up in the supermarket, like the real stuff from the butcher.
Right.
Filet mignon tidbits
right.
were always a big hit. We had those every week.
Always dipped in what? Some side of sauce. Did you do the sauce or did they?
No, right at the butcher. It's some kind of teriyaki
right, right.
kind of thing.
Right.
And then Jonesy from Chubb's would bring the flank steaks, the chicken, the burgers, the hot dogs.
Sausage.
On occasion, we'd have crab cakes and crab soup.
Right.
That's the EB.
Right.
We did scallops. We did shrimp. We did
scallops.
We even had breakfast sandwiches sometimes if we got up there early enough.
Well, that's before the championship games. We've done that twice so far. We make sandwiches on the grill, bacon, egg, and cheese.
Right.
And we always have appetizers, the salty Italian meats and cheeses.
Right.
From cocktail, chips, dips.
Right.
You know.
And then the ladies were doing, what are they doing, like Prosecco? Like, is that what they were drinking? What were they drinking? Some sort of champagne? What were they drinking?
Yeah, bottles of Prosecco, yeah.
Bottles of Prosecco. There used to be a tradition.
And homemade focaccia from Marianne.
Yeah.
We have to mention that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes.
There used to be a tradition of fireball shots, but that seemed to kind of go away, right?
Because we kept losing every time we take the damn shot. We had to change it up. I had to go with the sippy cup.
Yeah. Now, Joe, will you tell people what's in your secret concoction in the sippy cup? And I'm not going to tell people when you started drinking the sippy cup, but when you would put the sippy cup together, What was in your concoction?
It was mostly bourbon.
Yeah.
Usually Bullet or something to that, Basil Hayden. And then I put a little Chambord and a little Grand Marnier.
What is the Chambord? Because I got some of that.
It's a raspberry liqueur.
What can you mix that with? Only bourbon?
No. A lot of what's really good? If you get the peanut butter whiskey.
Yeah.
So it's raspberry. And you put the Chambord in and you do a shot. It tastes like peanut butter and jelly. Can
you mix Chambord? I'm honestly, guys, I want to know. Can you even mix it with like vodka or is that bad?
No. You really don't want to do that. The Chambord, like if you, it makes it more like an old fashioned. It's like a, you know.
Is there liquor in the Chambord?
Yeah. It's like a liqueur. It's a raspberry liqueur. It just gives it a little sweetness to it. Cuts the, you know, and mostly for Jackie. Jackie didn't like it too strong. So I always put a little something in there for her.
Ah, I see. All right. All right. Let me see. So we did recruiting. We did tailgate. Okay. Here's a great one. Would either of you guys consider retiring below the Mason-Dixon line? So in other words, you guys are like lifelong Long Island guys, New York guys. Is there a chance you guys retire? I don't know. I don't even know exactly where the Mason-Dixon line. Are you going to go to Florida? Are you going to go to North Carolina, South Carolina? Are you going to have your winters in Florida and your summers in Long Island? What's the plan?
I think eventually I'll do some length of time probably in Florida.
But you're never going to leave.
Leave here totally.
No. Right. You're never selling the Foxy Gator.
Listen, you know my wife. Like, she might sell anything. She'd sell me if the price was right. But, you know, I have no plans to at this point. I know
you're a mogul and you have all these properties. I would think that would be the last one you would want to sell.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah.
But you don't know my wife that well. Then she might see something else and be like, I like that better.
She's the boss.
So, but I feel like, I'm going to be here for a while, but I think I could see myself having this and something else in Florida for 2 or 3 months. Vinny's already claimed rooms in people's houses. So he doesn't have to pay. He doesn't have to buy anything. He's just going to freeload the whole time.
It's not freeload. I was invited. It's like a visiting.
You were invited for like a day. You invited yourself for like 2 months.
A day at Keith's, a day at Kyle's, a day at my sister's, a day at my brother's, a day at my buddies. It's a week. And I'm back.
Vin strikes me as kind of similar to my father, who my father always said, listen, you don't ever buy a boat, just use your friend's boat. You know what I mean? You don't need an Atari, go use your buddy's Atari, right? Vin doesn't need a beach house, he's going to use your beach house, right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
That's Vinny.
He definitely doesn't need a boat because our friend Keith just bought a boat at 76 feet, so we're never buying one like that. He could just use that one.
Hey, we got to do a show from the boat.
If I need to be romantic and see a sunset, I go to Joe P's house.
Exactly. Right. I know. I always say, when Joe P goes on vacation, I'm going to his house. I'm taking my family.
I'm a simple guy. I'm a simple, simple guy.
Right.
I'll give you the code.
Yeah, we do. We do know the code. Vin, all right. Anything else you guys wanted to hit on? I can't believe like.
I just want to know how many Met hats Vin has. Every time it's a different Met hat. How many you got?
Not as many as pairs of Crocs that I have.
Well, that's a given.
Met hats, I would say.
You have Met Crocs is the question.
I do not have Met Crocs.
But he does have some Met.
That would be pretty romantic if Jackie got those for your birthday.
That would be good. But don't you have some that are kind of like brown? They like match your Mets like jersey, like whatever color that is.
I have blue ones.
No, but don't you also have like some like khaki colored or they're almost like a light brown? I swear I thought I saw you wearing some.
I have every Croc you could imagine.
What? Okay, give people. All. People don't believe this. Vin wears Crocs everywhere. He wears sweats and Crocs everywhere. Where did that start from?
Well, first I used to make fun of people when I saw them wearing Crocs until I tried a pair on. And they're the most comfortable things I've ever worn in my entire life.
Now, do you get the
one? He didn't wear Crocs the other day, though. He actually at Ty's graduation party.
He had to put real shoes.
He cheated on the Crocs.
What did I bust out?
Yeah.
Joe, what kind of shoes did I bust out? Cole Haan's,
Cole
baby.
Haan's.
Yeah, Cole.
Yeah, they were given to him, though. He didn't buy them.
No, I didn't buy them, but I got them.
Yeah. He
took them off a dead guy.
Did you?
They fell off the back of a truck.
Vin, do all your Crocs have like the lining or are you just wearing like the plastic or whatever that is?
I have those regular plastic ones. I have the ones with the lining. I have dress ones. I have ones you slip on that don't even look like Crocs.
What do you mean dress Crocs?
Yeah, they're dress Crocs. They look like shoes.
So
I wear them every day to school.
They don't look like Crocs.
No.
Right. All right. And that's just because you've
so
what, do you got bad feet or something?
No, just because they're comfortable. I like them. And let me tell you something. Crocs aren't cheap.
So yeah, no, I know. They're like, you know, maybe $60 to $100, right? I mean, if you get the expensive ones.
Yeah, well, if Joe P would get this deal done, I can get some new ones.
All right. Do you have anything else, Vin? I know you jotted down a few things. Is there anything else you want to touch on?
Nope. But if anybody does listen and they have anything for Saturday Belmont, it doesn't have to be the Belmont Stakes. Races 1 through 13, I'll be there.
Any of them.
So if anybody has any angles, tips, anything they want to pass my way, send it along.
All right.
Why don't you give everybody a tip, Vin?
Yeah, do you have anything?
Aren't you the guy handicapping this? Why don't you give everybody a tip?
I haven't actually read the entire racing form yet. I'm formulating opinions. Maybe I'll tweet out.
Yeah, you should do that. Pick out your winner. What about for the big race? Which one? What number is the big race? Is that the last race of the day?
12. Race 12. And then just so they suck every penny out of you, there's a race 13.
They do.
Right.
And they always do that.
Always.
They always.
So the crowd could start to, leave and us degenerates could stay.
Right.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Vin, I got a question for you. Yeah. How much money does Jackie allow you to bet at Belmont?
See, will this air before I leave?
Friday.
Or, so she'll hear this on Friday. I take a fixed amount of money with me, whatever Jackie gives me.
Don't you?
What would that be?
Couple $100.
Whatever, Jackie.
What does she think you're betting? How much?
Can we not put this out until Saturday after I'm already gone?
Don't you pull?
I didn't say what you're betting. I want to know what she gives you. What does she think you're betting?
I know. I'm going to take my last coaching check. I have not cashed in yet from the school. I'm going to pick that up tomorrow morning.
And you're going to gamble
Let it ride, dude. Let it ride.
It's free money, baby.
It's hilarious. Don't you pull it with the guys, though? Don't you guys do that, too?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll bet on my own, but we also have pools that we do, too, with all the guys. Yeah.
Right.
I don't bet. Right? I don't bet horses. I only bet. A friend Greg's dad has horses.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, he'd be like, oh, yeah. Then he'll be like, we got to bet Greg's dad's horse today. We got to bet. I'm like, all right, I'm in, whatever.
Right.
About 15 times. Every time the guy comes in last or second or last, breaks his leg. I'm like, come on. Like, good tip from the owner.
Right. Hey,
it's that one time, the one time it comes in, you got to be on it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.